Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with my favorite content creator right now, Miss Toni Bravo. Welcome to the show, Toni.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to get an hour of chit-chatting with you.
I'm excited. I'm into it. I'm obsessed with you. So this is like the feelings mutual.
You're literally my favorite content creator right now.
Stop.
So this is like a dream come true. Anyway. Let's talk a little bit about your origin story.
Yeah.
How did Toni Bravo become Toni Bravo?
Oh my God, that's such a great question. I feel like in the way the rest of the world knew me, it started with roller skating. But we go back a few years. Toni Bravo's always been very Toni Bravo. I was obsessed with YouTube as a kid, but I couldn't get YouTube, right? Because I was too young. I was like 8. You know, my parents gave me a camera. So I would create little like YouTube challenge videos. They never lived anywhere. Real, but you know, they're fun to make, so I would edit on my little mini laptop, and it was a vibe. So that's where I started like learning that I loved doing video stuff, and it was interesting to look back on because that was something that was like not really a career that I thought of. It was just something that was fun. Fast forward, I kind of like, you know, put the camera down. Fast forward, roller skating. I'm from Long Beach originally, and roller
Iconic.
Skating I love Long Beach. Long Beach will always be my... We love her. Roller skating's iconic there. So I picked up some rollers. No, yeah, like roller skate. The roller skate community in Long Beach is insane.
Why?
Oh, it's beautiful. Because I feel like Long Beach just has, there's a lot of really cool areas to skate. Moxie Roller Skates was the first roller skate brand I became obsessed with. They're based in Long Beach, California.
Whoa.
So a bunch of events would happen there, roller skate events. So I would wake up at 8 a.m. every single morning, go to the skate park, and I started recording that, posting it on socials. That started gaining a lot of really fun traction. And I wasn't really talking to camera, though. I was just kind of doing, like, skate park mm-hmm. tricks. Being a girl on a ramp, it was a fun time. And then I got, like, a job. I graduated college. I had a job, so I wasn't able to go to the skate park every day anymore. And after that, I took a big break from content creating. Have you ever roller skated before?
I mean, like, yeah.
Like a rink?
Yeah. I got roller skates as a child, but I never ended up being good. But
yeah.
I did go to a camp called Woodward where there were professional inline skaters. Okay.
Oh, sick.
Explain to me what roller skating and inline skating, what's the difference?
I've never inline skated before, but inlines are that, like, the wheels kind of go in a straight line like this, and quads are, like, two wheels in the front and two wheels in the back.
Got it. So inline skating is just one
blade. So you call those roller
like
blades.
Ice skating.
I've never done that. Like ice skating. I've never rollerbladed before, so I really don't know what that life's like.
So you have the like four chunky wheels.
I was like
wheels.
A quad skater, and then I stopped for a while. It picked up like crazy during quarantine. Picked it up again for a little bit and realized that I didn't want roller skating to be like my only thing. I felt like I wanted to be able to connect to camera. I graduated college, started a job in the beauty industry. Started doing my own beauty stuff on the side, and here we are.
Crazy. Okay, I have a few questions. When did you start roller skating?
Yeah, so my parents were big roller skaters, so they would take me and my sister to the rink together all the time. So I grew up in Long Beach. So I grew up learning how to skate from like my parents, but skate park skating was something that was like so unique, and I learned with the other girls I would go to the skate park with. So the community was so great. Me and a bunch of girls would go to the skate park at like 8 a.m. and every single day we'd just teach each other new tricks. I met the best people, and I still am really good friends with a lot of them. It was the most beautiful like sense of community ever. That was my favorite part. Tricks were cool, but like the community was my favorite.
You need to be like the face of a crazy cool like beauty campaign where you're like on like the Venice boardwalk,
that
like putting on a gloss.
And I've never done a beauty skate campaign together. I've done a lot of skate campaigns just within the skate world, but never
you have to
with beauty. I've never intersected the two, so that could be fun.
It'd be cool if you did almost like a fitness brand or like, you know, like the fitness how Aloe has like beauty something.
Yeah, like a little like movement vibe.
Yes.
with beauty. No, 100%. I could see that happening sometime this year or next year. I feel like that could be really fun, but I've never intersected the two.
Have you ever skated at the Venice skate park?
I have.
That's iconic.
It was such an iconic moment. Venice just has so many iconic skates. That was also a very popular spot. A lot of people from Long Beach would go out to Venice. But that was such a unique like moment in my life where I was able to like wake up at every like 8 a.m. because classes were asynchronous. I was in college. But like, you know, Zoom, teachers were still understanding what was going on. We were still understanding what was going on. So we had a lot of free time. Mm-hmm. So life was just very different then. And I look back at that very fondly because I just don't have time like that anymore. Yeah. But it was fun. It was
Did beautiful. You ever have like a skater boy crush phase?
Definitely. I feel like in high
Me
school.
Too.
Oh, for sure. In high school. But what was great about when I was doing this kind of like roller skate thing with the girls at 8 a.m. There were no skater boys at the skate park at 8 a.m. They would come at like 2 o'clock. So we had the whole skate park to ourselves, zero distractions. But I definitely had a phase like in high school, in middle school, as we all do. And then I grew up and I realized I like people who wear deodorant. So it just became a whole different thing. But that was like looking back at that time was just it's so interesting to talk about because so many people are like, you roller skated?
Well, like, it's almost like a little bit of a juxtaposition to your brand in a way, because like, I mean, looking at you now, it's like you're like giving preppy girl, girly girl. Not that like you can't be a girly girl and also be a skater, but
100%.
Like the stereotype for skating is I do think of like, you know, the Vans.
It's
the, like,
gritty. Hey, yes, it's gritty. The, like, and you get dirty. Shirts, you get it's and that's what I loved about it was like you can. The fashion part was a fun element of that. And I think I was very like into more like 70s flair, like fashion when I was a skater.
Uh-huh.
But you definitely, you get dirty. Like, it's not very, it's not a very, like, pretty, like, sport. You do it to sweat and to have fun and, like, to get, not be afraid to, like, fall and rip your pants. And that was just such a fun, it was such a fun moment in my
life. So crazy. Ugh, do you ever go on the Venice boardwalk or, like, you know, in Santa Monica where you could, like, roller skate up and down?
I've been there. Santa Monica is one of my favorite spots, actually. I like Venice. It does get a little wild and busy there, but, like, there's
it's so
really
chaotic.
Like, so chaotic. But there's nothing like Long Beach, honestly.
Oh, I love her.
There's nothing like her.
But I feel like there's a lot of icons that have come out of Long Beach.
Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%.
Including you.
Including Tony Bravo.
Didn't Snoop Dogg come out of Long Beach?
He went to my high school.
No way.
Yeah, and he'd come to football games. It was honestly, like, such an interesting...
Wait, what?
No, Long Beach Poly represent. I loved LB. It was such an interesting time to, like, be at Poly, too, because we would have so many cool, like, concerts at lunch, and it just, it feels like such an unreal time, but...
Wait, what do you mean concerts at lunch?
We would have, like, times where people would come on the stage.
I forget like students? Who was.
No, like, actual artists. I can't even remember the names now, but there would be, like, lunch times where there'd be, like, a little platform out at lunch, and they would have artists perform. And
like, up and coming?
Up and coming, like, crazy. Rappers. It was so sick. I loved Poly. I met, like, some of my best friends there. But, yeah, Snoop Dogg went there, so.
So Snoop Dogg would come to your high school football games?
Yeah, he'd come to football games, and I think he helped with a lot of, like, the uniforms that a lot of the football players would wear. So it was just, like, really nice to see people that came out of Long Beach come back to support, whether they're there in person or just, like, you know, supporting from afar. It was just
That's really cool. Like, people that do go back and, like, support their community.
100%. It's important.
It is important.
And Long Beach is very small, so it's nice.
How small is it?
Honestly, I feel like everybody... I grew up going to the same elementary school, middle school, and high school, like, with the same group of people. Like, everybody knew everybody. It was such a small world. I miss it. And now we're all off doing our own things, but... Long Beach will always be, like, a special, very special place for me.
What other icons came out of Long Beach?
Ooh, well, Cameron Diaz also went to my school. Same time as Snoop Dogg, actually. They were high school, like, friends.
Were they famous at all when they went there?
I don't think so.
This is crazy.
I don't think so at all.
So they were just, like, vibing in the hallway and they didn't even know.
They were vibing. So Long Beach Poly produced some really, really cool people. Who else? I know Vince Staples is from Long Beach as well.
Whoa.
So we have some icons. We have some really cool icons out of Long Beach. And, I mean, more to come, I'm sure.
That's crazy.
She's iconic. She can't help it.
Yeah, no, Long Beach is so iconic. Okay. Anyway, so you were really into roller skating.
Yeah.
And then you got your big corporate girl job.
My first ever one, like 3 days after I graduated.
And was
college.
This at Rare?
This was at Rare. First ever.
Crazy.
Corporate. Well, before that, I actually worked at BuzzFeed for a little bit. I was a junior, almost senior in college when I worked there.
I
was like a talent, so I would help come up with like, it would be fun to work with the producers because we would do like video pitch ideas. And I remember there was a week where I got to dress up as a brat, and that was like as a brat's doll. And it was like such a cute concept.
Love.
And I got to work with the producer on that, and it was really fun. And then my job basically there was to be like talent, so I'd be in videos. It was a fun time.
That's amazing.
It was a really, really fun time, and honestly, a dream growing up, like watching BuzzFeed, like in the older days. It was just such a fun time. So I was there for a bit, left. And I remember applying to this job. I never wore makeup, really. I wore mascara, like, every other weekend, and I thought I was, like, crazy. I was not a makeup person.
Maybe I heard you say this, but you said you would only wear, like, concealer and mascara, like, out on a night
out. And that was my vibe. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm killing the game. Like, I would put my little dot of concealer, and I'd be like... We're ready to go. And that'd be like my idea of like a glam, which was like cute and fun. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I grew up watching makeup gurus on YouTube all the time. I think I just had a really hard time. I wasn't going to Sephora. I wasn't going to Ulta. So like I'd go to the drugstore and they had like horrible shade ranges. So I'm like, okay, I'm not doing makeup anymore.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so I'm not doing makeup anymore. I'll get my little mascara and I'll be done. So I never really thought I would revisit the makeup world in the way that I have now, in the way that it's like manifested. So it's really interesting looking back at that. But I was not a makeup girl. Like I was not into makeup, but I was like, you know what? Let me just apply to this job really quick on LinkedIn and see what's up. And I ended up getting the job.
That's very crazy.
Very sick, very crazy.
And it must have been right when Rare was starting, right?
I think they were like a year.
I mean, that's
old,
still
a year and a half. Like they were still very much like startup vibe. And they're still very new to this day, mm-hmm. but like they were definitely, it was still early days. This was 2022.
What did you study in college?
I was a film and media studies major. Wow. I doubled,
okay, everything is making sense.
It makes sense. I doubled in international studies, but then like it got wild and I picked up work. So I dropped it and I just continued with my film and media studies major. And it was great.
And
it
what
was so
school did you go
fun.
To?
UC Irvine.
Okay, awesome. And did you enjoy it?
I did. I mean, I was there on campus for the first year, freshman year, and then COVID. They sent us all home sophomore year.
Oh,
and we were like,
worst.
Oh, it's like 2 weeks, like whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, cool,
like,
cool,
yay,
cool.
Spring break.
Spring break. Didn't end up being 2 weeks. I ended up moving to LA, actually, like my junior year, because I had gotten my job at BuzzFeed, and I was just kind of like, okay, let me just see what's up. I don't have to go in school in person. Might as well move to LA, get like some type of a career started. Didn't know what that looked like, but I was like, let's just move to LA. So I did. And I graduated June 2022, and it was still pretty virtual. A lot of people went back to school. I just kept mine online because it worked mm-hmm. really well for me in the commute, LA, UCRM. My teachers were so cool in helping me like keep a lot of my things online, not having to go in person. But I went, and I got to walk the stage in person. It was cute. And then like 3 days later, I started my first ever like corporate job in the beauty space, which was fun.
And this was this in El Segundo?
This was.
Okay.
So I was living in downtown.
Uh-huh.
So the drive was usually like downtown to El Segundo.
So you took the 105?
Mm-hmm.
I know that drive. Because
yeah.
I used to work at, when I went to FITM, I worked at Planet Blue. Do you remember
oh, really?
What Planet Blue
oh,
is
Oh, wait.
Called?
Why does that sound like a fever dream? What was that?
It-
like, what was that?
Planet Blue was like the even cooler, more expensive Free People.
Oh.
And it was like a California-based
how long
brand.
How long did that last?
How long did I last there? Or
yeah.
How long did the company
how
last?
How long did the company last?
I want to say like, it kind of also gave like LF energy.
Interesting.
Do you remember LF?
Okay, interesting.
I want to say, I don't know how many years, but it was like had a time where it was really popping, I would say for like 3 to 5 years.
Right.
Where it was like, it had that like Southern California beach vibe,
yeah.
but it sold like, it was kind of like a Nordstrom or Revolve for that like Southern California like cool girl. Like it had a mix of like For Love and Lemons, but then it also had like skater, surfer.
Right, because I remember hearing about stuff. It, but I feel like that was something I heard once and then I never heard again.
Yeah, so they had like a store in Malibu and Beverly Hills and El Segundo and
nice.
Maybe like Santa Monica, but I worked at the Manhattan Beach one. Yeah.
Oh, nice. How was
so
that?
So I took that drive.
How was that? So you get the
I get the downtown to El Segundo
yeah,
drive.
Yeah, you get the vibe. You get the vibe. Thankfully, it was like hybrid, so there was days where we could work from home, which was really nice. But that was just the first step, I think, for me in the beauty space, mm-hmm. which was fun. Learning about makeup as an adult was really, really like a game changer for
me. And what was your position at Rare?
Social media coordinator. So I would film videos for socials, edit videos for socials, come up with ideas, send out trend reports, kind of just like on the social team. Specifically,
mm-hmm.
It was a fun time because I had worked in social my whole life, so it felt very natural. The only new element was the beauty part of it and makeup.
Okay. And what did you learn while working at Rare Beauty?
I learned a lot about, especially now being someone that's on the creator side, I learned a lot more about the behind the scenes, what work goes into creating a product, how many years it takes to formulate a product. I think it's really funny when people talk about, oh my God, all these brands are coming out with the same thing all at once. This exact, and knowing kind of like the back end of it all, like it takes years sometimes to formulate these
totally.
Things. So it's not just like, oh, we see this brand doing this, let's create this tomorrow. It takes sometimes years to create things. So I think I learned a lot more about the product development side, which I think was really, really interesting because that's mm-hmm. not something you hear a whole lot about. And just kind of learning what makes a brand, and what that looks like. For mm-hmm. every single brand, it's very different. But I think it was really cool to see that level and that sense of community, and also just see how much Rare really values their community. I think that was something that was really interesting mm-hmm. for me to learn about, specifically in the beauty space, because I had no idea what the beauty space was even all about. I was not someone that was making beauty content or consuming beauty content
mm-hmm.
specifically on TikTok before I started working there. I was not. I posted my skate videos on TikTok, and then after that, I kind of just like my monthly like time limit or whatever, not limit, but like the time that I was on TikTok in a month was like 5 minutes. Like I was really on TikTok. No, now I can't. But like that
I'm
was my
off TikTok that for was 5 minutes
screen
today.
Time. Like my screen time for a month on TikTok was 5 minutes. So
That's
I didn't
insane.
Really understand a whole lot of that until I started working there and consuming a lot more content and creating content. So I learned a lot about the way beauty moves in terms of like the social media world and how fast it moves. I think I learned a lot about that there. So
thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing slash time expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now that you're a content creator, what is something that you take into consideration when filming or reviewing brands having worked for a beauty brand?
That's a really, really, really great question. I feel like now that I've worked at a beauty brand before, definitely remembering that there are people behind the product is a really huge element. I think
what do you mean
for
by
me,
that?
I think it's really easy to look at a product or look at a brand and be like, whenever I give criticism, I like it to be constructive. I want it to go somewhere. I like it to be productive, right? So I remember that there's probably someone on that team that's going to watch this video. I want
there's 100% someone who's going
to
watch
and
it.
And I
yeah.
want them to be able to, if I did have criticism, I want them to be able to take that away and be able to do something with it versus creating content that's more of like clickbaity. You're not really giving anything, but like you want
like
people
roasting.
To, you want to roast, and there's no like product. And sometimes that's fun to watch, but I think for myself personally, if I'm giving critiques, I want it to be something that can be consumed by them on their end so that change can happen versus just being like, I hate this product, not really giving any context or anywhere for them to go with that. So remembering that like these brands will see your video and that there are real people working on this behind the scenes. I think for a lot of people, it's hard to remember that.
Totally.
Because there's just so much going
on.
Well,
I think that's such a strength of yours in particular, and something we don't see a lot on social media is someone giving constructive criticism or feedback that isn't the best.
Right.
Or disagreeing or, you know, not loving a product, but still is polite
100%.
About it. Because I think a lot of times they're like, this is a flop because, you know, you're trying to get views. You're trying to get that wow factor.
Oh,
you're trying to make a splash, which I understand. But I also empathize with the people behind the brand because they're trying to make the best product possible.
Oh,
like
100%.
They're not trying to like screw people.
100%.
Most of the time.
And I do think most brands have great intentions. And I feel like, definitely, I look at what I do and what I create as a business. So I'm also very like mindful of that. And I'm mindful of what I put out into the internet and how that comes across, because those are important things to be mindful of. If you want this to be a career that, at least if I want this to be a career I'm proud of, I want to always put my best foot forward. And that can mean that I still give criticism, but in a way where I'm like, okay, what can they actually take away from this so we can actually see something happen? So that's kind of how my brain works, especially being on the other side of things.
I'm so curious what you think about this, and I'm trying to ask it in the best way possible, but like being a Black creator,
right?
And in my head, it being a necessity to have the shade range these
100%.
Days, like
100%.
What is your opinion on brands that, you know, are just starting out and maybe don't have the budget to have that insane shade range that we want, but they want to be inclusive? Like, how would you go about that if you were starting out with a brand? Do you know what I mean?
I'd say if you're a newer brand and you don't have the budget to create the shade range that you should be creating, I don't think you should create it. I don't think you should do it. I think there are so many different ways around that. There's so many other products you can create. If you're coming out with complexion and you're not able to create a shade range for everyone, don't do it.
Wow.
I just think you shouldn't do it. I feel like also the backlash and also just you would be leaving somebody feeling like they're not included and not thought of. Is that worth you putting out a product if you can't do, you know what I mean?
100% agree.
Like just don't.
Just come out with a blush.
Come out with a blush. Come out with a fun lip product. Like there are so many things you can create until you have the budget to create complexion that works for everybody. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if that's actually your goal, if that actually is your intention to create something for everyone, wait until you can actually do that. I think if you're trying to make the best product possible, make sure you have the means to do so. You don't need to rush into it. Also, there's a million products out there. We all understand that. And I feel like if you're going to create something that you're proud of, mm-hmm. make sure you're doing it on your timeline, on a proper timeline that can allow everybody to use your product. I've never really understood that. I've never really understood why people feel like they need to create this complexion product if you know you can't create the shade range. And it's 2024 now, so it's just kind of like, I've never understood that. Just don't do it.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Just don't. No, it's very embarrassing. Yeah. Like, just don't do it.
It's just like, the only reason I ask that is because I feel like it's, even though this is a talked about discussion, it's still not talked about enough.
Oh, 100%.
And I feel like the reason why you're one of my favorite creators is because you address these things in such an easy to understand and digestible way that, like I said, when you're, instead of like roasting the brand or roasting a product, you're constructive about these things, which I appreciate as a creator because it's like that is easier for me to learn and actually make, you know, the little changes I can within my content or, right. you know, with my Black friends or with my 100%. Black creator friends when it comes to supporting them. So that's the only reason why I wanted to ask is because
I
know a lot of people out there that, you know, want to start a small business.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's sometimes an excuse.
Oh, 100%. Like, they're so small, they have no budget. Then don't. Don't do that. Then create something else. There's so many different lanes to go into. At least, and I say that if your intention is creating a space that is tone inclusive, just don't do it. If that's mm-hmm. not your intention and you're just like, screw it, I'm going to make the shades that I want to make. Okay, you do you, I guess. But if you're saying right off the bat, like, we want to be an inclusive brand, like, make sure you have the means to do so. Like, that's, exactly. And I feel like that's very common sense, but apparently common sense is not very common, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
That's okay. You live and you learn, I guess. But like, it's been interesting. I mean, I've only been in this space for a little over a year now, and I think I've learned a lot about the way the beauty industry works and how fast it goes. And it's just, I think if they wanted to, they would. At the end of the day, if you're creating a product,
just like a man.
If they wanted to, they would. And that's why I'm just like, not every single brand is for me. Not every single brand I love, because I don't love every single brand that I tried, because not every single brand I feel like is catered towards me. And there are brands that are catered towards me. Is it a shame that there are brands that don't cater to me? Of course, but I'm not gonna like harp on that for the rest of my life. I'm like, if you claim to be inclusive, though, you should do everything in your power to do so. That's all I'm saying.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
Are there, on the subject, are there brands out there that you think should be praised for the inclusivity that they have?
Oh, yeah. I think all of my like favorite brands at the moment, I would say Milk Makeup's up there, mainly because they were the first brand I've tried a bronzer stick that actually worked for me. Like, their really? Shade range is so good. Before I even got into makeup, I never thought that I could find a bronzer that worked for me. And Milk Makeup, their bronzer sticks are creamy. They're like 10 out of 10. Same thing with Say Beauty. Say,
I love them.
And you know what's crazy about Say Beauty is they were the first beauty brand I've ever worked with before I was even a beauty creator.
What?
They hit me up when I was a roller skater. Like, this is I love that. It was a crazy moment because they were also the first brand after I left my job to take me on like a little brand trip. So it was just like very full circle, because I feel like they've always just like seen something, which is interesting, because even when I worked with them, I was a roller skater and they sent me like their slip tint, and it was like early days. They were just kind of starting out too. And I was like, oh my God, my first ever like beauty partnership. And I never thought, I never really thought much of it afterwards, but it's funny now seeing that they're one of my like favorite brands. They just, that I feel like that brand, every single, their bronzer is so freaking good. Their Sunmelt bronzer.
Did you do the stick review like relatively recently?
I did. I've done a few stick reviews.
Okay, because one I saw, I don't know what the brand was, but I was like, Tony, this looks insane on you. Like,
no,
it matched your skin
the
perfectly.
Foundation sticks. I think that could have been an Ami Collet foundation stick. That was very, very good. But I would say Milk Makeup for sure. Say, interesting enough, like Rode, I don't think a lot about like makeup, but like their stuff, top, definitely one of my like top brands. Who else have I really been? Danessa Myricks and Pat McGrath.
Pat.
Those are my queens. I wear Pat every day. I wear Danessa every day. And I got to meet Pat at an event a few weeks ago, and she's like the sweetest,
so cool,
sweetest soul. And I feel like those are, when I'm thinking about brands that work for me and that I feel align with like who I am, those are the brands that I typically think of. I love them so much. And it's hard because I use a lot of makeup brands every single day, but those are ones where I'm just like, those are my ride or dies. Mm-hmm. I know I'm like, it's not going to steer me wrong, neither one of them.
I need Say to do a campaign with you with a new product and the roller
skating.
That
would be so fun.
That would be...
That'd be a very full circle moment.
It's like, it's right here. Like, you... A plus B equals C. You know what I mean?
I agree. And I just remember, like, because I forgot about that until I, like, thought back last year. And I was like, they were, like, the first. They reached out to me when I was a skater. Like, do they remember that? Because I barely remember
like,
that.
Like, they need a
crazy
video explaining the story of it all.
Like, that was early, early, early days. But,
yeah.
I mean, there's so many amazing. Oh, Charlotte Tilbury is up there, too. We love Charlotte.
Love Charlotte.
We love Charlotte. 10 out of 10. No, I honestly, like, and like their glow products specifically, also their lip products have been my favorite from Charlotte Tilbury.
Oh, really? Like
the
what
lip
products?
They're coming out. Well, they actually have a really, I forget what it is, but it's a kind of like a matte lip. I think it's called Cat Talking. That's like one of my favorite like nudie matte lips that I put.
I've never tried
over
that.
Oh, you need to get into it. And the lip liners. Those are my favorite things from Charlotte. The
lip liners.
The lippy stuff, and also the pressed powder.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The pressed powder goes crazy.
Oh,
I'm
wearing
it right now.
No, I wear it every single day.
Guys, as soon as I saw Tony, I was like, oh, your makeup, your skin.
Stop.
Like, it's crazy seeing her in real life because you look better. Like, I'm like, how
you.
Is that even possible?
Stop. You're gassing me.
Okay, I want to go back to your social media growth because you're working at Rare.
Right.
And then did you start growing a ton while you were at Rare?
Yeah, so while I was there, I was already kind of doing social things on the side. I was doing some modeling stuff as well. That was really fun. A lot of that was skate related too, which is funny. But I was like growing like relatively, I don't think the growth started until maybe like 2 months into working there, I started posting like my own content, and I was like, okay, I have all of this free like makeup that I've used for videos, but we can't like, they're not sellable. Like they're my products
like
now,
Rare.
Right? From Rare, right? So I was like, I have all these blushes, whatever. I might as well make a video about like me trying out this blush with her. Why not? So I was like sitting in my car. I remember it so vividly. It was like a purple blush, and I was like, I've never tried this before. Let me go try it on a video, whatever. The video goes crazy. And I was like, oh, people.
It immediately went viral?
No, it got like a million views. And I was like, oh, so people like this
crazy
content.
That's crazy.
That's
really awesome.
No, it was insane. And it was very valid. Not that I was like, oh my God, I'm going to post this because this is going to be like.
That's very
like,
rare.
It was very rare. And I posted it just because I was like,
yeah,
I have a deeper complexion and I want people to be able to see what this shade looks like on me.
I feel like there aren't that many creators in the space that are your exact shade.
Exactly.
Like, or your complexion.
And I noticed that gap when I was working at Rare because I was watching and consuming a lot of beauty videos because it was part of my job. And I was recognizing how many people in that space didn't really look like me. So I was like, okay. So in the back of my brain, that was like kind of my ethos. That was like my anchor of why I started that. But it wasn't really front of mind. Front of mind, I was like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. I'm in my car. Let me try out a little blush. And hearing the feedback from that video and people being like, I'm so happy to see somebody that looks like me trying this. And I got a lot of positive feedback.
I can't even imagine how like young girls that look like you is finally seeing someone in the media that looks like them. I can't imagine like
everything.
How rewarding that would be. Or not even rewarding, but just like, fucking finally. You know what I mean?
And it's so fulfilling because I also have a baby sister. She's 16. So I think for me, I was also like, I want her to be able to see herself and, you know, in this world, because my sister, my twin sister, she's going off to be a doctor. And here I am in the contest. We're giving her so many different options here. She can look at and see herself in so many different spaces, which is so great. But I also think it was kind of like that big sister in me that's like, I want her to be able to see herself in these spaces as well. And I just wasn't seeing a lot of people that look like me in this space, like at all. And that was one of the first things I recognized once I picked up this job working in social and consuming as much content as I was consuming. That was something I kind of like subconsciously noticed. So posting that and getting that kind of like just people affirming what I was doing kept me going. So I was like, okay, this is fun. Again, I didn't really see that being a job though. I didn't start it being like, I want to be a content creator full time. Like, that was not my vibe at all. I was like, this is a fun thing to do. I have all these products. Least I could do is show people what it looks like on me. And then it just started going from there. And I started, one thing about me, I am a Sagittarius, so if I am gonna do something, I'm gonna do it. So I started filming every single day, and I would try posting every single day. I think there was maybe like 2 or 3 days that I'd miss, but I would post like almost every single day.
One time a day.
And be like,
how many views were you getting? Because you had that one that blew up, the purple blush, that was like a million.
Yeah,
what was like your next video at?
I feel like that was like the next, I can't even remember what that next video was. It could have been another blush related video or like a lip video. I think it got like maybe 20,000-30,000 views. And I was like, still, this is like a lot more than I thought.
How many followers did you have at the time?
Oh gosh, I was a baby. I was a baby creator. I feel like I must have at least been at like 100. I was like right almost at 100K. It had to be like around 100K. The numbers moved really crazy because I feel like the way TikTok was in 2020 is very different than it was now. Mm-hmm. But I think I was like around there. I still consider myself a baby creator though, because a lot of those followers were from roller skate world. So it wasn't beauty related world at all. Like, these are people that followed me because they like my skate videos. And back then when people followed you, it was like, okay, they see a viral video of you, they click follow. Now it's like they follow you because they like your content
and they need to see you like 20 times beforehand.
Exactly. But back then people just click follow. So I still think I was pretty like, at least in my space, baby in the beauty world, even though that's still like a pretty big following. Like, that's a lot of people following me, but those people weren't following me for my beauty content. Mm-hmm. They weren't following me. Really, I felt like a lot of them weren't following me for me necessarily, because that was also the first time I started talking to the camera, was beauty content. Roller skate content, I really wasn't talking to the camera at all. And that was, beauty was like the first time I was introducing my personality. So I felt like people were actually starting to follow me because of me versus just like a fun vibey skate video. So I still feel very baby in like the beauty space, honestly. I still feel like I have a lot to learn, and I've been learning a lot every single day. And it doesn't feel like it's been a year and a half. It feels like it's been longer, but also very, 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 very short.
I totally understand you in the sense where you're like, I feel like a baby because I relate and I feel the same way. But like, I feel like one of those people that, you know, when you find someone on the internet and you're like, oh, I just know they're going to blow up. That's how I feel about you.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You already do have like a shit ton of followers, but I really think this is just the beginning. Like, you. Oh,
thank you.
Tony
Stop
Bravo.
It.
Like, that
Stop
is a it. Name that is going to be a star, which I know a gazillion people probably tell you that.
I do get told that, but it is affirming every single time.
What's
I
your twin sister's name?
Licia. So Licia Bravo.
Tony Bravo. Is Tony after something?
Yeah, my dad's name is Tony with a Y, and mine is Tony with an I.
Iconic.
Which is very iconic.
But
I'm not gonna lie.
I have to say, like, you, I'm just saying this before you like blow the fork
Stop.
Up even more. Like, you
Stop.
Have what it takes. And you
Thank
are
you.
So likable to watch. And I feel, again, you do that dance so well of giving feedback and giving criticism without being, you know, so harsh to the point where you don't want to watch, or you they don't want to help you, or they don't want to listen.
And that energy is
that's
like,
a dance. It's hard to do.
It's a very hard dance. And I just think I like to give out energy that I like to receive. Because on the internet, same. If you're giving out very negative energy all the time, that's the exact energy you're getting back. And life is already like a lot as it is. So when I'm creating my videos in like that space, I'm still very, very truthful and honest, but I'm doing it in a way where I'm still myself. And mm-hmm. these are the like every way I act in my videos is how I act in my everyday life. And the way I give criticisms, that's the way, that's just the way that I am. Mm-hmm. I just think I like to be constructive with mm-hmm. my, and it is a dance for sure.
It's just
for
a sure. fine line that you perfectly do the dance on. Like you are like bouncing in between being nice, but giving feedback.
Yeah, 100%.
Honestly, I think it's something that a lot of creators should look at you to like follow your lead, because I think that's why you're so, why so many brands are like literally like throwing themselves at you to work with you, because they know that you're not going to be like the meanest, rudest,
exactly.
most.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And you actually want to show the people the best part of this product.
100%. And I think for a lot of people who look like me, we already deal with a lot of products not working for us. We already know what that's like. And I don't want my content to every single piece of content be just like this sad, like, oh, that doesn't work for me again, because that's also straining mentally for me, is constantly like focusing on, oh, this doesn't, especially if I know it's not gonna work, I'm not gonna subject myself to that.
Totally.
And there's been a lot of times where I've tried products, they don't work, I end up not working with the brand, and that's fine. I let them know that before I shoot the video, whatever. But I feel like in the beauty space, like there's so many instances where things just don't work for me, that I'm like, if I'm gonna post things, I try my best to make it about things that I at least know. Sometimes they're first impressions, but I don't really know, but I know will like look good on me, because I want to be a reference for people to be like, okay, what works for me?
Of course, because that's the whole point.
That's the whole point of why I do what I do. So if I made all of my content about what doesn't work and what I hate, it's like, we already deal with that every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I want to create a space where I'm like, okay, this actually looks good mm-hmm. on me, and you could get this too.
Well, and that's the best feeling in the world, is when you are recommended a product that like is a hit.
Exactly.
And,
you're like,
and you get to go and buy it and use it on yourself and know it's going to slay.
And it makes you like, feel good, which is what I think
that's
beauty should
point.
Be about. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, and I still, that doesn't mean I stray away from products, like talking negatively about products I don't like at all. It's just like, I try to have my content space be a space where I'm like constructive, but also, you know, you can come to my page to see what looks good on my skin tone, what looks good on yours, mm-hmm. and you can go about your day and you can feel good in your own skin.
I think you're just very real in yourself. Like, you're not, that, like you said, it's not in you to like roast the shit out of
exactly.
someone.
Exactly. That's a lot of energy too.
Yeah.
That's a lot of energy. And I'm just like,
you're like, I don't have that in me.
I just would rather, I feel like, and that would also bring out a part of me that's not me. Like, I feel like I would have to like drudge up some character to be like, and that's just like not how I am.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like a lot of people, like, I don't know. I enjoy what I do, and I want to enjoy what I do for as long as I can. And I think that looks like me putting myself in spaces and positions where I'm leaning more into joy and more into love versus hate and like, you know what I mean? Like, I want this to be a long lasting career. So for me, that's like always been my thing.
That's why, I'm sorry I like keep gassing you up. I'm not trying to be annoying as hell, but like, that is why I am such a big fan of yours, is because when a video of yours comes on my For You feed, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like such a fresh breath of air. I feel like every other video is like, this person said this about me, and like drama and like just like negativity and you know what I mean? Like the chaos of the world.
Right.
And like, you're just literally just this ray of sunshine that's like just making like life, the silly little things about life, which just so happens to sometimes be beauty or a blush or whatever. Like, you're making it fun. You're making it fun to watch. It's like light and easy and fun and easy to digest, and it's exciting, and
exactly.
you like
that's
I feel like
I
we need on the internet
and
more.
That's what we need. And also, just like, as a Black woman in this space, like, I want to lean towards light, and I want to lean towards positivity. Now, that's not toxic positivity, not me ignoring things, but I don't know, there's already so many negative things that I'm just like, I'd rather lean into something that feels comfortable and feels like light and something I would like to watch if I were 13, 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Of course. Of course.
So I'm glad that translates.
It does. Oh, I'm obsessed. You know this.
There's a lot that could impress you about the all-new Honda Prologue EV. True, it's got class-leading passenger space and clean, thoughtful design and intuitive technology. But what really sets the Prologue apart from the competition is that it's more than an EV. It's a Honda. Honda, the power of dreams. Visit Honda.com/Prologue to learn more.
When it comes to growing on TikTok these days, what does your strategy look like?
Ooh, number one, always consistency. Consistency's been my thing. Last year was my first year doing content full time.
So same.
First year, oh my God, a slay, happy 1 year. consistency is always like number one for me. Like every single day, if I'm not shooting, I'm editing. If I'm not editing, I'm thinking about what I should be editing. If I'm not filming, I'm thinking of what I should be filming. But the thing is, I always do have like a balance between consistency and kind of just like doing my own thing. So at least like for me, it's fun thinking of like ideas, what I want to film, what I want to shoot today. But every single day I'm posting something.
How often are you posting a day?
Usually I would say like 2 to 3 on TikTok, Instagram, maybe like once, sometimes twice a day. So it definitely is something I have to like, for a while I had to consciously like kind of wire my brain to do. But now it's like, if I do take a break and I don't post a day, the world's not going to end. But I think for me, growth wise, consistency is truly key, especially when it comes to figuring out your own voice and what you like to create. Mm-hmm. The more you create, the more you learn about what you like to create. So for me, that was like a huge thing for like just figuring out what next video I should shoot, what I like about this video, what I don't like about this. So mm-hmm. I learn by putting it out there. So for me, I think growth and consistency go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Why? What do you think?
I think absolutely consistency. Yeah. I think you should be post if you're starting out, which tell me if you disagree. I would love to know. But I think if you're starting out and you have like 100 followers, you should be posting 2 to 3 times a day at least.
Oh, I agree. And the thing is, even if no one sees them, you're learning about what you like
to create. It's putting in the reps.
It's putting in the reps. And honestly, it's all a learning experience. Uh-huh. You really don't know until you know. And I feel like with something like TikTok especially, I think TikTok does reward consistency.
1,000,000%.
So I think that's number one.
I also think something you do a great job of that helps with growth a ton is having a series. So like you, even when you go to your page, like you have all your playlists where it's like report, like weekly report, yeah. Like blush stuff. What's it called? What do you call it? Blush?
CEO of blush.
I was going to call it blushaholic.
That too.
Yeah. So weekly report, CEO yeah. of blush, like reviews, like yeah. first impressions, like whatever. And I think there is something to having a content creator. Like there's a common denominator amongst successful content creators, and that being they have something in each video that you kind of are already expecting.
Right.
So like they're consistent not only with the amount of times they're uploading, but they're consistent with what's within the content.
I agree.
So like I know when I get Tony Bravo on my For You feed, I already know what I'm going to get a little bit.
Right.
Which is going to be like, you know, the sunshine, happy vibes, but also like I'm probably going to get something beauty related. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to get, you know, a compliment about how you're obsessed with blush. Like right. I'm probably going to get, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's things that make you you. And there is something about really formulating that strong brand when you are a creator. Like,
I agree.
I don't know. I feel like having that little sayings or, you know, a color you're always wearing or like.
100%.
And I think people, like, it'll happen naturally. Like, you don't have to be as calculated as you think.
You don't have to be like, what's my catchphrase? I didn't even realize that I said the same thing at the end of almost all of my beauty videos for the past, like, year. It always ends with, like, what do you think? What do you think? And I never thought about that until people pointed that out. And then I stopped saying it in, like, one video and was like, you missed this part of the video. And I was like, oh, my gosh, guys. And then I look back at all my videos and I'm like, wait, did you say that? So it's like those little things. And I recently started a Richard Ditch series.
Yes,
which
I
is
love
like
Richard
new.
Ditch.
And I've never started a series like that before. So it's been a fun way to kind of play around with like luxe products. So that's like a fun series where I think some people have found me through that. Or it's just like fun to have something that I can like film every so often.
I think series also get people to follow.
I agree.
Because if they know there's going to be more of that and they liked that, they're going to go follow because they don't want to miss the next one.
Right.
Or they want to creep on the rest.
100%. Because, you have like a playlist. Yeah. And you've been doing 75 hard, haven't
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Which I've grown quite a bit yeah. because of it, because people want to see, they don't want to miss out on the next
100%.
One.
100%. And that's goes hand in hand with consistency. Like mm-hmm. you have to be consistent with your 75. Like
yes.
every time I see a 75 hard, I'm like, oh my goodness, respect to you, because you're really out here. You are
I'm
really
trying.
Out here. And
I'm
I
trying.
Love every single time I see one of your videos, I'm like, I love the fact Aww. That you're just like, the fact that you keep up with it. And I think you just have a drive that I just love to see on my For You page, on my following page. Like everyone I follow, I feel like has just such good drive. And it's so inspiring for me mm-hmm. to keep going.
Because
there's a lot of noise and there's a lot going on. But when you see people that you follow, your mutuals, your friends,
uh-huh.
keeping up with it and enjoying themselves while they're doing it, you're like, okay.
It's also fun to have mutuals who are in the space where you're like, oh, like I'm seriously rooting for them.
Exactly.
And like it feels like you're mutually wanting to help each other.
Exactly. We want to see
it's
everybody
encouraging.
Win. Exactly. We want everybody mm-hmm. to win at the end of the day, which I've met like so many cool creators in this space, and meeting people who do the same exact thing as I do. It's always just really nice to hear from people that know exactly what you're going through and mm-hmm. also just like what it's like.
Who are some of your favorite creators?
I have a handful of favorite creators. I feel like every single person I follow is my favorite creator. But I would say in terms of like the beauty world, the beauty space, one of my favorite creators in the beauty world was Gloria. Because she was like the first, she was the first, that like first black girl content creator I saw in the TikTok space. And it's funny because I think I originally saw her on YouTube like years ago
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in like a blip, and I'm like, she looks familiar. But then I saw her on TikTok when I was like starting to do my social media. We actually met for the first time on a Rare Beauty brand trip. I was on the team and she was there as a creator, and we just like clicked, and I'm obsessed with her content. I think she does great work in the world of tone inclusivity and demanding better. And I think for me, having a mutual like that and a friend like that, even though she's, you know, not in California, I just like root her on from the sidelines all the time. Mm-hmm. She's one of my absolute faves.
Stunning.
No, she's absolutely beautiful and she's killing it. And she's always just been someone that I've been like admiring in the space
uh-huh.
because it's not easy out here being a content creator, beauty content creator, especially like a black beauty content creator. It's mm-hmm. not very easy. So she's like one of my favorites. That's my girl.
Girl, I need to pull out my second phone. We gotta talk about the second phone.
Girl, let me pull this out real quick. Hold on. Period. Okay. So people say it's bougie to have two phones. I don't think it's bougie. I think it's actually very smart. All right, let's see. Let's go to my TikTok.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I honestly rarely, you know what's weird is I rarely ever go on like my profile page on TikTok.
What?
Yeah, like I never really go on it.
Why?
Isn't that kind of weird? I don't know. I feel like it kind of takes me out of it sometimes. Like, I know, like, my analytics and my followings and stuff, but I don't, like, go on my page and, like, look at my videos like that. Like, when I look at my own videos, it's because there's a notification from that video.
Interesting.
I don't realize I do that, but I clicked on my profile and I'm like, girl, I have not been here in a second. Okay, who's my favorite? Who's my favorite? Recently...
Or you can say favorites.
Favorites. No, I have, like, a long list here.
Okay.
Okay. Honestly, this one's a newer one for me, but Funmi Monet,
oh,
fragrance influencer, obsessed.
Wait, let me see.
Obsessed. Do you follow her? She's amazing.
I've seen her.
No, she's great. Like, and I eat every single one of her videos up. Every single one.
Is she like the really big fragrance person?
Yeah, no.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. I need to follow
and
her.
And that's, she's absolutely iconic. She's been like one of my faves. And then Yola, one of my newer mutuals, she makes a lot of content about like the fashion space.
Right, let me see.
And she's so nonchalant when she talks, but her takes are absolutely everything. And
wait, I'm can't obsessed wait to follow with her. All these people.
No, please. I will put you on to like
please put us on,
literally
Tony.
Everybody, because every single person I follow, I eat up.
Uh-huh.
Like I could go through my entire following list, and we'd be here for hours, but. Those are like some of my favorites. I feel like for me though, every single person I follow is like my bestie in my brain.
Same.
Are we the same on that? I feel like every single person I follow, like I would ride for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
So it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's like picking my favorite children. But
it is. They're all great. I like different people for different things.
Exactly.
Like I have my favorite beauty creators. I have my favorite
food creators. Yeah. I have a little bit of everything. I need to see if you're following this person really quick because she's one of my favorites.
I love your nails.
Oh my God, thank you. I need to get them done. They're kind of like, you know,
Akila.
She's one of my favorites. Honestly, we just met up for lunch not too long ago. She creates the best.
She looks really familiar. Beauty.
She's the best. And her wedding content went viral on the internet.
Oh my God, she's stunning.
No, I'm obsessed with her. We grabbed lunch the other day and I was like, you are such an icon.
She's definitely been on my For You.
Really? Page, no, she's great. So those I would say are like my, like some of my absolute favorites. Mm-hmm. But every single person I follow is like my bestie. So it's hard.
Okay, I want to know about your filming and an editing schedule. Like, what is your schedule on a daily basis look like? Because you're really big on consistency and you said if you're not filming, you're editing. If you're not 100%. Editing, you're filming.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about the nitty gritty of that.
So I wake up pretty early. I've always been an early bird. I wake up at like 6 typically. And then
What time do you go to bed?
Oh, God. Sometimes like 12, 1.
Oh, my
gosh. It's really bad. But my body wakes up at like 6, 6:30.
It's kind of crazy.
It's kind of insane. But I just got a Hatch alarm and it's been one of the best things ever. Love it.
I need to get it.
But I wake up and the first hour that I'm up or 2 hours that I'm up, I'm not on my phone. So I think that's been like really, really great just for like dopamine purpose. Like just waking up and not checking. Put the phone in the bathroom. Put it away from your bed. Spending the first hour that you're awake, not on your phone, absolute game changer. So I walk my dog. I crochet. I do like my own thing in the morning.
Okay.
That's not social related. And then at around like 9, 8, 9, I eat, but I shoot around like anywhere from like 9 to 11. I'm shooting.
So you're shooting immediately.
Oh, yeah. Like I'll get ready and I'll shoot top of the morning. It gives me some sense of like, oh, I'm going to work. Because when you're working for yourself and you're out, you need to have some type of like consistency.
Yeah.
So it depends if I'm shooting like brand deals too. Sometimes it's a little earlier so I can get that in. But I'll have like a shooting block in the morning that's like maybe 9 to 11. And then maybe if I have extra stuff to film, I have another shooting block from like 2 to 4. So like I break it up depending on that. And I'll usually just like fire out videos back to back to back. And then I'll usually edit from like maybe like 4 to 6 at the end of the day. And then I'm posting from like 6 to 8 normally. So it takes
6 to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And you always post then. Why?
Always. I just like, I think because when I started posting, I was working
me,
corporate.
Literally me.
So 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock was like my go-to posting time and that just never changed. Sometimes I'll post during like earlier during the day. That's not as often. I do want to start playing around with that more, but that's just like my time that I like to post because it also falls right after I have my editing like hours. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect. But usually around then is when I post. So I'm pretty much doing social stuff all day, but it's all fun. Like it's all things I'm excited to do. But that level, like that's probably like my usual everyday schedule.
When it's from 9 to 11, you say you're shooting.
Yeah.
Does that mean you have a list of the videos you're going to be doing or you just like, you know, free ball it?
Yeah. It's a little bit of both. Because if I have brand stuff I have to film, I'll definitely like have the products laid out in my vanity. I know what I'm shooting with. But normally I'll go into my office and I have like a whole makeup organizing situation in my office. And I'll be like, okay, what do I want to try today? So sometimes there'll be a new blush there. Or there'll be new like whatever concealer or whatever. And I just pick from that area and then I go to my vanity and I shoot.
And
so that's like usually right before.
As you're getting ready, you're shooting.
As I'm getting ready, I'm shooting. So even if I have nothing to do that day, I'm putting makeup on usually for a video. So even if I have zero plans that day, I'm still getting ready. Which is nice, though. I think when you are on your own clock and your own schedule, it's good to just like get up and get ready. Put some real clothes on. Feel cute. It's a game changer for me. And it keeps me on a very consistent schedule, which is important for me.
How many videos are you shooting from 9 to 11?
Sometimes that could be like 4 videos. Usually it's around 4. Like I would say on average around 4. Especially if like half of them are branded videos and then maybe I'll do 2 or 3 of my own. And then later on in the day I'll usually shoot maybe like 1 or 2 extra videos. So I always have extra batched up, but I'm normally shooting and posting in real time. So it's same day of. But if there's every day where I'm like, oh, I can't shoot this day. I have so much going on. At least I have some videos that are on the back end that I could edit and still post that day, if that makes sense.
Okay. And While you're shooting, let's say you're doing like a blush review.
Yeah.
How long does that take you?
Ooh, sometimes like I would say like 20 minutes maybe. Okay. Sometimes like it depends on how elaborate the review is, but sometimes like 15, 20 minutes I would say, because I do definitely like to talk and I like to like get into the, and I like to try. I also like to let the blush like sit on my face sometimes for a second.
Yeah.
While I'm shooting it. And give it, like, a second to, like, I don't know, like, feel lived in. And a lot of times with my complexion reviews, though, I always try to include a wear test. So they'll usually be, like, 8 hours later, I'll show you what it's looking like.
Which is awesome.
Which is, I think it's the only way to go, because in front of, like, studio lights, anything can look really great. Anything could apply beautifully. It depends on how it wears. But I would say, like, 15, 20 minutes, usually, depending. Mm-hmm. On the blush.
I forgot to tell you, I did your sunset blush today.
Your blush is stunning. I was literally looking at it. I'm like, placement is also everything today.
I literally filmed a video I'm trying Tony Bravo's sunset blush.
I wear a cocktail of blushes.
That's
every
what I said. I was like, I'm doing the cocktail.
No, it's my like blush
recipe, I think.
No, as you should. As you should. That's the way blush, I feel like, should be worn. I love doing a little blush concoction. Same. It's so much fun. One of my favorite parts of doing my makeup.
For sure.
100%.
Is blush your favorite?
Blush is my favorite.
Okay, that's what I
do love a good lip, but like blush is like something, and I do love a good bronzer. Those are like my three. I love a bronzer, I love a blush, and I love a good lip. Those are like, I need that.
What's your holy grail blush?
Ooh, my God, that's so hard. Right now, Pat McGrath Electric Bloom.
Need.
That's like.
Wait, is that the like bright ass pink one?
No, it's like red mixed with a little bit of purple. And it's like this floral design. It's stunning. I always put that on top of whatever blush I'm wearing that day. Like I could be wearing any other blush that day. Juvia's Place. I can be wearing Danessa Marsh.
I love that brand. Juvia's Place. So freaking good.
But I always top with Pat McGrath.
Okay.
Always. And then Danessa Marsh has these color fix. You can use it on your eyes, your lips, or your cheeks. The most pigmented blushes. Pigments I've ever tried in my life.
Really?
So I usually use that too underneath. Chef's kiss. Those Whoa. Are my babes. You have to layer the blushes.
Okay, I need to be layering more. Yeah.
You have to layer.
Okay. You said you shoot from 9 to 11, and then what are you doing from 11 to?
Usually it's emails, sometimes light editing. A lot of the times, usually there'll be meetings in between that most of the time. So like brand meetings, meeting with my manager, eating lunch. All of that happens in between there. If I'm lucky, I'll get a nap in. But normally also friends with, like, I have, like, friend time. So I'll have a friend come over. I'll talk to them on the phone. I like to have, like, I still like to upkeep an element of, like, life outside of this as well. So sometimes it looks like sitting and watching Vanderpump Rules and editing on my phone.
Do you always edit on your phone?
Usually, yeah.
CapCut?
InShot. That's been my that's been my favorite for years. It's just simple and my editing's not like too crazy.
Yeah.
So it keeps it simple and I know.
See, I'm editing on my computer.
And I edit my YouTube videos for sure on my computer, but like I love editing on my phone. It's just so quick. It's so efficient. I can do it on the go.
Uh-huh.
Put a little AirPod in. If I'm in an Uber, I'll just like edit. Like I'm almost always editing. Mm-hmm. But that's usually like that little in between time frame in between my filming where I have a little bit of a break. I'm usually sometimes editing my YouTube video in a meeting, crocheting, or I'm taking a nap, or I'm spending time with like a friend, maybe going out to lunch or something.
Got it. And then afterwards, you might sprinkle in a few more videos.
I might sprinkle in a little bit more. We might throw in a PR unboxing. We might throw in an extra like talking video, whatever that might be, a car video, whatever that might be.
And when are you filming for YouTube?
Usually, I've been doing a lot of weekly like vlogs recently. Okay. So it's like, throughout the entire day. So in between
all
this.
You should come over and film with me
one
day. We
should do a film vibe. That'd be so fun.
We should do some collab
moments. Your place
looks
so cute.
Please come over.
Like, I love it. I do sometimes miss the downtown vibe, but I feel like for me, balancing when I'm filming and when I'm not was one of the harder things to learn, I think, for myself. But I think now that I have, like, a schedule, it's great.
Do you have any life hacks when it comes to content creation? Like, oh, I like to film this before I work out because of A, B, and C. Or like, you know what I mean? Anything
100%.
Like nitty gritty that you can give us a tip on?
Definitely. I like to chronologically like plan out my content. So if I know I have like a blush video, I'm like, okay, I'm doing a blush video today. Maybe I'll do a complexion right before. And maybe we'll do a lip video right after. So I kind of like plan around that. Or like, I have an ad to shoot for this complexion. okay, since I'm shooting complexion, what else can I shoot afterwards? It's like kind of goes like naturally in my routine of doing my makeup.
And so this easy. In your head or are you writing it down?
Oh, in my head. Okay, and yeah. I have a little like journal that I like write in sometimes at night if I come up with like a video idea, especially if I'm like my phone's away and I'm having like no phone time, which is really nice. I usually just try to plan it out in a way where it's as efficient. I can just go boom, 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 boom. Because it's harder when you have to like, okay, I'm doing this look. Okay, then I have to take off all my makeup and then I have to come back and then I have to take off all my makeup. That's what I try to avoid.
See, that's when I struggle because I'm like selfishly asking because me doing 75 hard, I'm like, when do I work out and then film a beauty video and then like take my makeup off to work out again and then shower again?
That's crazy to me.
It's just... it's a lot easier than a person that has a 9-to-5, but it still is challenging with the, because I don't want to waste time doing my makeup three times.
100%. And that time is everything. That's one thing you learn when like you're doing this full time. Time goes by so fast. Like I wouldn't consider what I do to be hard. I'd consider it time consuming. It's not hard in that, like, even my 6 months working in corporate, I'm like, that felt hard. But this is like fun. Like, this is exciting. The only thing is, yes, it is time consuming. Time will fly so fast when you're filming and when you're editing, and you don't even realize it. And it's a lot of like on your phone time. So I think time goes a lot faster that way. Now that we get an extra hour or two of light outside, it's very nice.
Thank God.
But I would say that was like one of the biggest things for me learning too, is I'm like, oh my gosh, time zooms when you're filming all the time. Yeah. Like it's actually insane. But there's a balance. It's always a balance.
Yeah, there is. Okay, speaking of being on your phone all the time, you have two phones.
I do.
Can you explain to me why you have two phones?
Okay, every person I talk to, all of my friends, I try and tell them to get two phones. I got this phone a few months ago because I was like, I need a better phone to film on. I'm like, my OG phone is an iPhone 13 mini because I have small hands and I just like something that's small and compact. Mm-hmm. This is like my like regular day-to-day phone. This is like my work phone that I film on. It's best for storage, so it keeps everything separate, which is really nice, even though I film like personal stuff and like whatever because the content's just like way better quality on here.
And you film everything on your phone?
I film everything on my phone, except actually I've started incorporating my Canon G7X in my videos and just turning it vertical. That's also been really great for just more like high definition content.
When are you doing that?
Sometimes I like film unboxing sometimes with it. Like I just film like a bag unboxing and I just filmed like when I do my like lip combination video, sometimes I'll use that camera. So just like the extra like crisp.
Okay.
I like to switch it up sometimes and it adds a little like flavor. Uh-huh. But having this phone is great because I don't have social media on it either. So it's like if I'm filming and I'm editing, because this phone will be elsewhere. So I can't even have access to like other platforms to distract me.
Oh my God, I need
so to do 10
this.
Out of 10 would recommend. And I just went into Apple and I got it and I used this
and there's
phone.
No service on that one.
There's no service. It takes service from this phone, but what's crazy is this has that USB charger, so I can charge this phone with this phone. So all I do is I bring a little cord with me anywhere I go and this becomes my portable charger.
I don't understand that.
So literally the iPhone charger, I put one end here, which is like the iPhone part. And the other side's a USB, you know, like the normal USB one.
And that's
the newer phones have only, they have the USB charger.
Up.
So I put the USB part in there and it literally, they charge each other. Or this charges by using whatever's on this. So I use this as like my portable charger.
So will that drain its juice by giving it to that?
It does, but this usually has full battery when I leave. This one usually doesn't. So it works out great. And the battery life is also really great.
And then are you airdropping, once the video is edited, you're airdropping it to
this usually. I'll airdrop it to this and I'll post it through here normally.
Got it.
So it's just like, it's nice. It's been a game changer for me personally. I love it a lot. Having a separate phone has been everything, especially a phone with like no socials on it. So if I'm editing, I'm like locked in. I'm not getting notifications.
Yes.
I'm not getting like a bunch of like extra stuff from other apps. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's like one of the best things I've done for myself last
and
year.
And do you bring both phones like with you everywhere?
Usually.
Does that not
typically
get kind of like a pain in the butt?
If they were the same size, it would definitely be. But this phone is like so baby compared to this phone. I throw this one in my bag usually and then I will normally like hold this one if I'm out in an event.
That one's almost just like your camera.
It is.
It's like your computer.
And it's so easy to film like high quality. People always ask me what camera I use in my videos. Like, what camera are you using? It's literally just my back camera and it's the
best. So that's why you got the Rode case for that phone, because that's where you're taking the photos.
That's where I'm taking every photo. That's where I'm taking like most of my content is on this phone. So game changer, 10 out of 10. you won't go back once you do it.
Okay, you're influencing me.
I love that. I love that.
Speaking of Miss Road,
yeah,
what was it like filming and meeting Hailey Bieber?
Oh, she's such a gem. She is such a sweet gem, and I meeting her and talking with her and learning about how much she loves Road and how Road is just like her baby was everything to me. Because I mean, sometimes with celebrity on brands, you never really know, but that is like, this is her child. And she cares so much about skincare and beauty and making it effortless and not overdoing it, which I love, because mm-hmm. there's a lot going on. There's a lot of noise in the beauty skincare space. And I feel like Rode provides this like grounding consistency of something good. Every single time they come out with something, mm-hmm. I'm like obsessed with their skincare, their cleanser, their glazing milk. Like those are like my everyday products. And I have very sensitive skin, so I'm very like picky about what I use. But filming with her was really, really great. It was really fun. She's such a sweetheart. And it's always just great to be around people that love beauty and skincare as much as you do. So it was fun because we just like talked all things beauty. Even like before we started the video, after we started the video, we were just talking about all things Road and beauty. And she's just great. I love the Road team. They've been the absolute sweetest to me.
Were you nervous filming with her? Like, how did that come to fruition?
Yeah, so someone on her team, shout out Kelsey, reached out to my manager at the time and was like, hey, we're going to be in LA. They don't really do a whole lot of LA stuff. And they presented this opportunity.
Wait, are they based out of New York?
I believe so, or Toronto. I'm not sure where they normally have their events, but it's normally not in LA. So they're like, hey, we're going to be out here in LA for their cleanser. This was for their cleanser launch. Would she like love to, you know, we'd love to have her over. Would she like to shoot with Hailey?
Was it at her house?
No, this was at a hotel. Okay. So it was really, really, it was really nice because I'd been to this hotel before, but like going there to shoot that, I was like a little like
that's so smart nervous. Of them to do a hotel.
It was such a nice hotel, and it's a hotel she's familiar with. So it was really great. And it was just such a fun filming experience because I feel like I film a lot of solo things and we just clicked so well and it was just so easy to talk with her. And I feel like sometimes you like see somebody so often on your phone or in the media that you don't realize sometimes how easy it is to talk to somebody. I felt the same way with Lady Gaga, which is so funny.
I mean,
because such a
Tony,
these are queens.
This is insane.
These are queens.
You
and,
are like living everyone's dream.
Oh no,
life.
I'm living my dream life actually, but
I'm living vicariously through you.
Oh babe, they're just. It's so nice to meet people that feel like girls, girls, and she is such a girls' girl, and I'm obsessed with Road, and they have such a crazy year coming, so I'm excited. I love
did
that for
they
them.
Tell you like, oh, we would love for you to film this type of video, or did they give you kind of the creative freedom to do whatever?
I had a bunch of creative freedom. I threw out a bunch of ideas, and before we even filmed, we kind of went through everything, kind of lightly threw out some like questions and some things that I had in mind that I wanted to ask her, and we were like, okay, cool, let's turn on the camera, let's shoot it. So it felt very just like natural, not too overly like produced or forced. It was very, it was literally just like I was filming with my friends.
I thought
it was
so smart that they did that.
I think that was great. I think that was so great, and it was just so fun learning more about the product from her and hearing about how it came to be. It was just great. I feel like the team's very good at their like their branding is absolutely insane.
They never fail to impress me.
Every single
launch, I'm like, holy shit. Like,
and they're
this is
so
really
young.
Good.
And they're so yeah. young. They're so new.
And the price point's so good.
So good. You don't really see a lot of lippy products for like $16 nowadays, especially like a peptide one that's going to be nourishing your lips, but also giving you like that beautiful glossy vibe. Like, it's very rare. And I just feel like they know what's up. They know what's up.
Did they have all like the lighting and everything for you?
Yeah, they actually, well, that hotel actually had beautiful light, but they had two lights on the mirrors that were really nice. But at their headquarters now, they have a little creator studio that they've built. That's where I was recently at and filming some fun stuff with them. But they have like a whole studio now at their headquarters, which I think is so fun.
That's so cool. It'll be cool. Are their headquarters here?
Yeah, it's here.
Oh my
gosh. Headquarters are here in LA, which I didn't know. Which is interesting
that
now.
That is so cool.
It's so sick. It was so sick to see. And just like be in the Road headquarters.
Yeah.
I mean, their branding and the look of everything was just so beautiful and so consistent, which I love. Everything feels very within the
like
Road
on brand.
Yeah, because you know, sometimes with brands, you're like, this doesn't even feel
this
like a part of your
place.
Universe.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a little. They're very, very good at that. So that was really fun. I love Road. They're amazing.
So amazing. Okay, and then the week you went to Road HQ was like an insane week for you because you also went to Lady Gaga's house.
I did.
How did that happen? What was that like? I need to hear everything.
Yeah, so me and my manager, we got this invitation to her house. I didn't know it was her house originally. I thought it was going to be like a restaurant, but they were like, she's having an intimate dinner, and it wasn't House Labs related. So I was like,
which is crazy.
I was like, okay, we'll go. Like, I was expecting it to be like a fun, like just cute intimate dinner. I didn't realize it would be her house until we pulled up and we're like, oh, this is her home. Like, this is where she lives.
I can't imagine.
And I like, we walk inside of her home and it's just, it's so her, so beautiful. And we walk out towards the back. There's this like big, massive, like, this big massive pool, all you see is the ocean, stunning views. It was just beautiful to be there. Me and my manager were just pinching ourselves the whole time. And the reason we were there was it was very cryptic. They were like, this is about the art of photo medicine. And we're like, what is that? Okay, beauty.
That
and like,
so LA.
It was so LA. And we're like, we all want to know what this is. And we're like mixing, my manager and I were like mixing and mingling. And there was a bunch of really interesting people there. It was just very cool. A lot of her friends, I think her parents were there. It was very, very sweet. And we kind of learned about this new like drug trial that she had invested in. It was originally created to help people with EPP and vitiligo to help bring back like melanin into the spots where basically, you know, when you have vitiligo, you have these like spots of like missing melanin. Yeah. So basically that drug, it's like a shot.
Whoa.
Basically it was insane to see the before and after result, and the doctor was there who like spearheaded the whole thing, and it was just really interesting to learn more about like the pharmaceutical space from that and what she's investing in from like a philanthropic standpoint as well, and not just like being, you know, an amazing beauty pop star, you know, like
business
all
owner,
business
everything.
Woman. I was just like, wow, like she
it's crazy.
Really has
she's
her,
a human. Like she's just out here being like a human.
She is out here, and just hearing about all the things she's involved in and why was just so beautiful. And I remember I was like sitting down. They had this beautiful like 7-course meal that I was just like eating up. It was from Mother Wolf.
Oh,
it was
God.
So, you know, it was good. But me and my manager, we're sitting here and literally she comes up to me and she crouches down at my table and she's like, I'm the biggest fan of your videos. And I was like, shut up.
What was it like just like hearing her voice like say that and like looking at her?
It didn't like register.
Was she like tiny in person?
No, she was. Well, she was very tall because she had very, very
she had her stompers
big
on.
Stompers on. I was like, period. I know that's right.
Yeah.
But she comes up and she's like, I love your videos. I love your content so much. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. She's like, I love watching your videos. Like
you're like, what's your burner
and
account's
I was like,
name?
No, because like that's crazy. She comments like on my videos all the time. Like all like every time I post like a House Labs video. She's like very active, like
and
on my
did
TikTok.
You think it was her, like someone that ran
I thought
her
it
account?
Could have been like it could have been someone that ran her account, someone on socials. And I was like, you know what? You never really know. But her coming up to me and like recognizing me.
You're like, oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I even like
I
introduced myself.
Imagine.
I introduced myself to her manager and he was like, oh, we know who you are. And I was like, oh, me? Little
Whoa.
Old me? And I was like, oh my goodness. And he was like, we would love to take pictures with you after the dinner. She would love to take some shots with you. So that's where we took our picture together. It was like a whole photo shoot moment in her house. It was freaking
crazy.
It wasn't real. It wasn't. We were there. We got there at like 4 and we left at like midnight. We were there all day. I wasn't expecting it to be all day because we had another event after that we were maybe going to stop by at, but we're like, we're at Lady Gaga's house. We'll be fine. Like, we're just going to stick around. And we were there all day. It was such a pinch me moment meeting her and like the team. And I actually got lunch with the House Labs team not too long ago, like a week or two ago, and just learning more about like everything she has her foot in is absolutely insane. But she's a
she's
queen.
She's doing it all.
She's an icon. She's an
truly.
Icon. House Labs, I didn't mention House Labs before as one of my favorite brands, but they've easily become one of my like go-to brands in terms of the foundation. Favorite foundation. The best foundation. And their lip glazes. Favorite lip launch of 2024.
Whoa.
There have been so many lip launches. House Labs, 10 out of 10, my favorite.
Whoa.
Oh, without a doubt. It has the glossiness. It has the color. It lasts. It doesn't sit on your lips in like a weird heavy way, but it's like a balm, oil, treatment. Like it gives you everything you can need.
Oh my God.
Oh, if
I love her so much.
Anytime someone's like, what lip? There's so many lip launches. What should I get? House Labs.
House Labs. Okay.
That's my like always my answer. This year, they've killed it. They're going to continue to kill it. Obsessed.
That is so crazy that you met her. I mean,
no,
that's
insane.
You were in the same room as
no,
her.
No, the fact that I was at her home, like her residence.
Were you like like nervous about what you were gonna say and stuff?
Not really. I mean, we had like a full conversation for like 5 minutes. I wasn't like, and it's crazy because her energy is so welcoming that like I'm not that someone helps. That gets like very like, I don't know what to say. Like I can have a conversation with, I feel like, just about anybody, honestly. That could just be me being a Sagittarius, but we just talk. Like we just like talk like we've known each other for a second. Yeah. And you kind of forget that she's this like big, like,
which is so cool,
crazy star, but you just kind of have that like person to person moment. She's very good at creating that. And I would even say the same thing with like meeting Haley or meeting like Pat. Like they have these human elements to them that make you feel like, okay, yeah, they're these bigger than life like people, but when you meet them one-on-one, it does feel like it's one-on-one, like they're talking to you human to human, having a conversation. So yeah, it was great. It was a crazy week.
What a pinch me moment.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah,
very, very much so.
Crazy. Okay, so to wrap this up,
yeah,
I have to ask, what are you doing to make moves in your life right now?
Ooh, to make moves in my life right now. I love that question. I think right now I am doing a much better job than I was last year at just like checking in with myself and protecting my peace on the internet. I feel like last year I still did that, but I think now that this is becoming something where I'm like, oh, this is like a career. Like I'm like creating something that could be very like long lasting and mm-hmm. could be something I do for a very long time. So I want the foundation to be as me as possible. So I've just been very like very big on protecting my peace, being a businesswoman, and acting as such. And acting like I already have the life that I'm dreaming about.
Amazing.
I think is number one for me.
That is like so smart of you to be doing, like, because like I said, this is like you're in the warm-up phase.
Exactly.
Right now.
It's still early days.
Even though you're big, which is crazy, you know what I mean, which is the beginning. Yeah, it's just
the beginning. So I'm definitely trying to lay down a foundation that feels like an actual like anchor for me. No matter where I go, no matter how big I get, what happens, what cool opportunities I have, I want to be able to always have a very solid anchor as to like why I'm doing this. So every single day, I like to remind myself like why I'm doing this, who I'm doing this for, and just creating even stronger of that like that sense of like foundation for my brand.
What would you say is the Tony Bravo foundation?
I feel like for me, specifically in the beauty space, it's really interesting because before this was not really at the forefront of my brain, but as I've done this, this has become a big big part of why I do what I do. It's just being somebody that looks like me in the space, being a darker skinned black woman in this space is something I don't see a whole lot of and I didn't see a whole lot of before. And that's something that I feel like every single time I put myself out there and I post the content and I'm showing up, mm-hmm. even just showing up is absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think that's a really huge anchor. And just being like the big sister that I am, I always want my little sister, her friends, people that look like her, people that look like me, to be able to look at what I do and my content and be like, I could do that if I want to do that. So I think for me, that's always going to be my anchor and what I do, why I do what I do. Because at the end of the day, like, yes, this is fun. This is hee hee hee. I'm doing blush. I'm like trying out a new makeup routine. This is so much fun. But I think at the very root of it, it's like me showing up and being myself is a lot bigger than what I even know sometimes. And I know that because people will DM me, they'll message me, they'll leave comments that are like, you've changed the way I look at makeup. You've changed the way I consume beauty content. You've changed the way I've decided how beautiful I feel. Like, it's like very impactful things that I'm hearing from people that I've never met before and I might not ever meet, but like the fact that the way I show up has impacted people's lives in such a positive way, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm doing something right. I'm in the right ball. I'm in the right lane here. So I just want to always remember why I'm here.
I love that. I think that's why it is so fun as like a fan and a viewer to watch you, because your content is cute and fun and like helpful, but it's like, it's so much more fun knowing like how much of an impact you're making.
100%.
If that makes sense.
That keeps you going. Because I think if I didn't have that element, I don't know how long I would be in this space. Like if I didn't have that element of being like, okay, what is this for? Because obviously it could just be, social media is just fun, right? But when this is your career, I think it's important to always have something that keeps you going,
and kind of a game plan.
100%. And I think it's the passion over the perks. 100% for me. So that for me is like, hearing how people consume my content and why they like me and why and how important it is just to show up. Me being myself, me looking the way I do and just showing up does a lot more than I even realize. Mm-hmm. So that's always going to be my anchor. I think no matter how like crazy my career gets, I think my anchor will always just be I'm someone that looks like me making moves in the space that I want to be making moves in. And that's always where I want to be.
I love that. I'm so excited for you the rest of your career. And me and the Making Moves listeners are fans rooting for you. So I'm so excited for when you come on the show in like a couple of years and you have like a gazillion more followers and like a brand or something. I don't know. But where can everyone follow you for now if they aren't following you already?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Bonitravo, Bonitravo. It's funny because sometimes people think my name's Bonnie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've gotten that like a good amount of times. I'll be like, Bonnie.
That's so funny.
I'm like, that's so cute. But I switched the letters, but that's where I'm at. I'm also on YouTube now, Tony Bravo.
And how often are you posting on YouTube?
I try weekly. I'm sometimes every other week, but okay, we're trying to be consistent.
Amazing.
I love YouTube. We love her.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Such a good time.
Anyway, go follow Tony right now. You guys need to. Like, you will not regret it. She's seriously one of my favorite creators for a good reason. And be sure to make someone else's day this week. Love you guys.
Bye.